television stars come from many places, modeling, stand-up comedy, rehab, but rarely do they come from boats on the Bering Sea. Andy and Jonathan Hillstrand are the exception to that rule, being catapulted into stardom as two of the stars of Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch. They've recently collected their stories of the high seas into a memoir which shares a name with their crab boat, Time Bandit. Well, the full title of the book is actually Time Bandit, Two Brothers, the Bering Sea, and One of the World's Deadliest Jobs. And they join us now. Andy and Jonathan, thank you for being on Fair Game.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
So I want to start out by asking about Alaskan crab fishing, which is one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. And I think that if a lot of people were going to make a list of dangerous jobs, you know, they'd put lion tamer or secret agent or human cannonball. So will you explain what makes this so dangerous?
Well, it's just... For so many thousand people, they just end up getting killed or maimed, or it just turned out to be for the least amount of people.
It's like 100% or 90-something percent injury rate.
Have you guys been injured?
We've all been hurt, but never, you know.
Yeah, I got pieces of my wrist and or hip in my wrist and stuff like that.
I actually want to get to specific stories of close calls for you guys. But before we do that, let's listen to a bit of an episode. Deadliest Catch is one of the highest rated shows on basic cable, drawing in over 3 million viewers a week. Nice work, guys. Let's listen.
Fishing near the ice pack not only threatens Captain Andy's bots, but subjects his men to the most painfully bitter temperatures the Bering Sea has to offer.
It's like 25 below or something with the wind chill, I think. Doesn't take much to freeze. Any kind of spray will instantly freeze anything, so. Burr.
Probably a little after midnight right now on a fine frozen evening.
The crew is working in soul-crushing temperatures with no end in sight, and they're getting closer to the edge. At a certain point, every crabber has a decision to make. Laugh, cry, or go postal.
Which do you do? Laugh, cry, or go postal?
Postal, baby.
Yeah. You'll laugh a psychotic laugh sometimes because it's just the ice pack and the rough weather is when you get the most stress.
What's the ice pack?
When you get stuck in the ice pack or your pots get run over by the ice, it feels like it takes years off your life.
It was -45. And we left Sig Hansen.
Wait,
up in
outside.
Outside.
Not in the
that
water.
That was without wind.
The water, you can die how quickly in that water if you fall in?
You can die instantly because you'll get the esophagus reflex, but within 4 to 5 minutes, you're dead, gone.
Yeah.
Have you ever fallen in the water?
I fell in the harbor before.
He's fallen in the harbor in probably 38 degree water.
38 degrees.
Jonathan, what does that feel like to your body when
it's
you fall
cold?
Into that?
You want to get the hell out real quick.
Should I be calling you Captain Andy, by the way?
As no, they just it's fine. We just, okay. We just call ourselves Andy. They call us Captain Andy
now,
on the show. But
what do you think it is about your job that and the men who do it that makes people so fascinated? Why are 3 million people watching you do this a week?
I think a lot of like the firemen and police officers, they relate to us a lot. And the Army soldiers, they get a call, they got to go jump in a building that's on fire. They don't know what's going to happen, and then they go home to their family, which mm-hmm. is. Like living two separate lives, so that's what we have out there.
But most people who watch your show don't have those lives where their job is so high stakes. What do you think draws the people who go to an office every day to watch your show?
I think it's just because we look just like them, and we could be your brother, your dad, your sister, or whatever. So
sister,
they've had girls out on the boats before.
Yeah.
So I think it's just they can relate because we just look like normal people to them.
Now, you mentioned you fell in the harbor there, Jonathan.
Yeah, I fell like 13 feet in between the boats. I was hopping from boat to boat. We do that all the time. I do it a lot. It's more careful nowadays. But I ended up in the water, and I looked at the bottom of the boat. That's how far I... Because after you fall 13 feet, you hit the water, you're going to go down about 8-9 feet. And when I first came up, I couldn't even yell because it was so cold. I started climbing up the piling or hugging the piling. And then the only thing I could say was man overboard. That's all that came to my mind.
Were you watching your brother?
Well, we were in
this?
A truck, and we were heading someplace else, and he just stepped back on the boat for just a second, and he went in the water. And then we had to jump out of the truck and jump over to get him. Now, he could have hit his head on the way down and killed himself.
I think it's on next week's episode.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm in trouble for saying.
No, I think it's they've kind of just led up to it. You can see.
Did you think you were going to die?
No, I was worried that they didn't see me fall in. I would have had to swim to shore, or I would have just... I would have hung on the piling and kept yelling, but...
You can only hang on for so long, though.
Yeah, you get real weak. I got weak fast.
Does this kind of lifestyle make you religious? Does it make you feel lucky? Does it make you go postal? all of the above? What?
Well, you definitely live in the moment when you're out there, because it's like pretty much man versus nature. I think that's why maybe a lot of guys like it too, because a lot of guys like to hunt, fish, or just do whatever you like to do. So every day we're out there, we have to pay total attention, or we could die. And it's just that cut and dry.
All your little problems are so far behind you. You're just living in the moment, and you're just battling Mother Nature and trying to catch crab.
You know, when I hear you describe it that way, it reminds me of soldiers coming back from Iraq. Like, how do you adjust when you're not living in that moment, when you're not on the ship and trying to catch crab, and you go back to your lives?
You
got to
follow us around on land. It's pretty much
It takes, that's why there's a high divorce rate in fishermen, because like probably 99% of all the fishermen aren't married, because it takes such a toll. Because you come back, you expect your wife to like change her whole lifestyle, and you've been gone for 3 months. It's the same with the soldiers.
But another thing nice though is when we come back home, like the guys made 110 grand on deck last year, 5.5 months of work, but the rest of the other 6.5 months, it's a Saturday. Every day is a Saturday to them. You know, they could do whatever they want.
But you guys are also,
it's not a bad living.
You're living an interesting dual life now, because when you're not, risking your life every day, you're these TV stars. Like, how's that been?
We're still getting used to it. It's just the show just blew up last year and this year to where it's just getting insane. We saw ourselves on a 7-story building.
What's that like?
I told Jonathan he's getting a big head.
I'm taking pictures.
I go, you're getting a big head.
I'm taking pictures.
But we were just playing tourists, we were looking at the picture going, wow, there we are.
Did people walk by notice that you were the guys in the...
That's
cool, right?
And next thing you know, they're shaking your hand. But we like to meet people, and it's just...
The fans are great. We got friends everywhere we go, you know. Except they always make me drink shots. Captain John. Yeah. Well, I drank like 40 last night.
Oh,
I got
my God.
A little embarrassed.
And then they sent me after. You're going to die
of alcohol poisoning and not falling in the sea.
We need to go back out fishing and get some rest.
Yeah, totally.
Now, this is a family affair for you guys, because not only are you brothers, but your father was also a fisherman. Yes. You write about him in your book. What do you think he'd think about
his eyeballs would be rolling in his head.
I think he'd think, it's a bunch of garbage. Yeah, but because he was pretty much old school. He would very rarely give us praise, but he did a couple of times. Told us he was proud of us, what we were doing. But he's passed away before the TV show. But he really never cut us slack to where he would probably say
he wasn't a real good people person.
Yeah, he was not a people person.
He wouldn't enjoy people coming up to you on the streets and stuff. But we don't mind. You know, we take pictures with everybody. We give people a chance.
Now, what is it that keeps you guys going back to risk your lives? You could kind of be cushy now and just be TV stars and authors.
Well, we make more money crab fishing than we do off this newfound celebrity thing. It's not what you think.
Well, it's all in our blood, too, as far as, we can't imagine not doing it. So it'd be like to say, okay, now you can't do it anymore. So even after this TV show's gone, we're still going to be out there, and everybody will kind of just forget about us. But it's what we've done before the show. It's what we're going to do after the show, so...
Both the ship and your book are called Time Bandit. Can you tell us a little bit about the significance of that name?
Yeah, our dad
takes all your time.
Takes all your time. Mm. It's like steals your time. And then that movie Time Bandits, these bunch of little midgets ran around through time stealing stuff. So my dad happened to see too. So
it's a good movie.
He liked it, you know. So
they're beating each other up all the time, sort of like us,
kind of like brothers. Yeah.
Fishing regulations recently changed from the derby system seen on the first season of Deadliest Catch, in which fishing crews caught all they could in a limited time window, to an individual quota system in which you can catch a certain amount with no time restrictions. How has that changed the industry for guys like you?
Well, it sounds like it makes it a lot safer, but what happened is we went from 270 boats down to 70 boats. And so now all the guys sit at home and we catch their quotas for them. So now we're out there a lot longer. And we're risking our lives. It's just only
and we're catching the crab for half the price we normally catch it for. I don't like the new system at all, but
it's the way it is. And
all the big lobbyists, the canneries, have all the control.
I'm going to ask.
I don't want to get too politically into that one, but
I'm going to ask a really corny question. But I'm dying to know. Do you eat crab?
Oh, I love crab.
We love crab.
Yeah.
It is. It's so good.
We eat it right out of the sink.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We have a pile of crab in the sink all the time.
It turns into a feeding frenzy.
Now, John, your son Scott is now serving as a deckhand.
Yeah, he's running the boat right now in the shipyard. He's doing a good job.
Is his mother worried sick all the time?
She's used to it. She's used to fishing. In Alaska, there's a lot of she's in Alaska, so everyone's used to the fisherman lifestyle.
Deadliest Catch is so popular that it's actually inspired a video game entitled Deadliest Catch: Alaskan Storm. Do you guys? Do you envision yourself sitting with an Xbox during your time off to do some virtual crab fishing?
I do the actual reality instead of the virtual.
It's pretty crazy. I guess it's really good graphics and all that. So,
let me ask you this. How has climate change affected what you do?
We haven't seen much.
Really?
Well, it's still damn 45 cold. When we left.
It was, and the ice pack pushed down to where they had to shut the season down for three weeks. So the ice pack's still moving way down, and we're trying to figure out the whole climate change, too. The crab stocks are just shooting way back up, and they thought maybe because the plankton blooms becoming better. And we hear all different sorts of stuff, and so we don't really know, but we know that every year we've had – a couple of years we got lucky and it was warm, and then now it's been 40 below for the last four years.
I personally have not seen this getting any warmer for us. Summer's the same. Ever since I've been a kid, I've been up there 45 years in Alaska.
We see cyclic kind of stuff, like more snow 1 year, less snow 1 year, and then all of a sudden it gets really
cold. There's glaciers that have grown 25 miles in the summer, mist disappearing, summer growing.
We're not the experts.
Al Gore took a picture.
It makes me feel a little better, selfishly. I'm like, okay, it's still cold. Good.
Yeah, I know.
Picture of Mount Kilimanjaro when they have that Al Gore thing. He's got a picture of it in the summer and a picture of it in the winter. And then here, look at it now. Duh, I see green leaves and stuff. It's summertime, and this one's wintertime.
All we know is what we see, though.
Right.
And we see coldness.
And what you feel.
Yeah.
When
do
you go back?
In October, we start fishing again.
And I actually fish salmon in the summer. In my time off, I fish. Yum.
Now, by the time October rolls around, are you just itching to go back? Or are you like, man, I got to go do this.
My wife's ready for me to leave.
Oh.
That's why it's worked out so well.
Yeah, it's worked out well because I go just to where she misses me, and then I come back.
It keeps it fresh.
She's a rare breed, too, though. Yeah. Because a lot of ladies can't do that.
It takes a really independent girl to stay married to a fisherman.
Yeah. I bet. You guys, be careful, please. Come back, okay?
We try.
Andy and Jonathan Hillstrand, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us here.
Andy and Jonathan Hillstrand are the authors of Time Bandit, Two Brothers, The Bering Sea, and One of the World's Deadliest Jobs in bookstores now, as well as two of the stars of Deadliest Catch, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on the Discovery Channel. For more information about Andy and Jonathan, as well as Time Bandit, check out our website, morefairgame.org.